time to turn your computers up and open your ears. You remember him as the voice of Steven on Cartoon Network's Steven Universe. Now he's the host on Easy Way Broadcasting's Teens on Air. Put your hands together for Zach Callison!
Hey guys, Zach here. Welcome to another installment of Teens on Air. I'm still across the pond in summer school that I actually wanted to go to. No, I really did want to go to summer school this year, guys. It's more like a summer camp, but I actually study Italian for about 5 hours each day. It's really cool. I'm having a blast. The school is in Lugano, Switzerland, which is in the Italian province called Ticino, so they actually speak Italian here. And when I go into the village, I order my pizza in Italian, and they actually understand me, which is surprising, because when I first started learning, it was a complete mess. But besides all that mumbo-jumbo, we have a great show for you guys today. Our guest is a new friend of mine. We just hosted a show together a few days ago, and I had a blast getting to know her. Her name is Ashley Argota, and she is really busy these days, and we're so lucky to get her on the show today. Hey, Ashley, thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited.
So you are on fire right now. You have a big career going. Earlier on, you were on Nickelodeon's True Jackson VP and Bucket and Skinner. More recently, you've been on ABC Family's The Fosters, and you've also got an upcoming Disney feature film called How to Build a Better Boy. So tell us the difference between your earlier career roles and the stuff you're doing now.
Oh, man. Well, I think my earlier career roles, I was very, I was a lot nicer than the roles I have now, I feel like. My role in The Fosters, I am very, very sassy and very, like, opinionated and brutally honest sometimes. And my role in How to Build a Better Boy, I'm actually the mean cheerleader of the group. So I definitely, I hadn't done any really mean roles until after all of my Nick stuff, which has been crazy. But it's a lot of fun. I like getting to play the mean girl role because it's so, you know, different from who I am in real life, which I hope.
You went to the dark side.
I went to the dark side.
Everybody has to play a villain at some point.
I love playing a villain. It's more fun.
I agree. Sassy, evil sometimes.
Evil, yeah. It's a lot more fun to do that instead of doing all the, like, I'm always happy and really cute all the time.
Woo! Smile for the camera, kids. So I just saw the first episode of your story arc on The Fosters.
Yeah.
Like you said, pretty tough cookie. Mm-hmm. Very different from the other roles, as you said. What is your absolute favorite detail about playing these evil characters?
My favorite detail about playing the favorite... Oh, man. Okay, I think... You'll laugh at me. I think playing these evil characters, it's a really good form of therapy for me, I feel like. I feel like it makes me nicer in real life, do you know what I mean? Like, I play this, like, evil person on camera, and I get to be so rude to this person on camera, and then in real life, I'm like, I'm really sorry, I didn't mean any of that. So I feel like it makes me nicer to the guy off camera. I don't know. I told my parents when I got How to Build a Better Boy, that was my first, like, big mean girl role, that I was like, I'm going to come back to California and be so nice to everybody because I got all of this anger out the 5 weeks I was shooting here.
It's you get to let it all out at once.
I do, exactly. You understand.
Yeah, every once in a while you do have to yell.
Yes, you do have to yell, but it's, like I said, it kind of makes you a better person off camera.
Now, is your character in How to Build a Better Boy similar at all to Regina George from Mean Girls?
Yes, actually. I watched Mean Girls before I went in for my, like, chemistry for my final audition.
Yeah.
I watched Mean Girls as, like, inspiration for my character. And I kind of got to play that, like, understated, like, everybody in the school loves me, but I'm actually evil kind of character.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends who tease me for it, but Mean Girls is actually one of my favorite movies.
This is why we're friends. This is why I love you.
It is
great.
Hilarious.
It's such a good movie. Jordan Fisher, actually, for Christmas, he gave DVDs to everybody at Aladdin.
Really?
And he gave me Mean Girls.
Nice.
It was, like, the best ever.
I got Clueless last Christmas from my parents, which is very similar.
Right.
In a similar vein. So, on the other side of the spectrum, you're on The Fosters, and that show handles some pretty heavy issues for teens and young adults. What's it like working on a show like that?
It's, you know, it's really, really great. I feel like the show touches on a lot of issues that are really swept under the rug a lot of the time. I mean, it's a show about two lesbian moms raising a multicultural foster family, and that's something that you almost never see, but I love that I get to be on the show. Really, it's like, it's an honor to be on the show. I was a fan of it before I was on the show, so now to be on it has just been amazing.
So even though some of your roles can be very evil at times, do you feel you have a responsibility to be a role model and teach something to the fans?
That's a really interesting question. I feel like I guess I feel like a semi-responsibility to be a really good role model for all of my fans, but at the same time, I'm not the kind of person that, like, goes out and likes to go party at 4 o'clock in the morning. For my 21st birthday, I went to a friend of mine's birthday party and went roller skating, like, roller rink, and I forgot to get myself a birthday cake, so I went to a restaurant at, like, midnight and got myself an apple pie and stuck a candle in it, and that was my 21st birthday. I'm just not the kind of person to, like, go crazy. I'm a homebody. I love staying home and being with my family, so I guess there is some sort of responsibility for me to be a role model to my fans, but it's not something that, like, is constantly, like, nagging at me, you know, because it's not, I have nothing to hide from everybody, I guess.
Yeah. I think partying at 4 a.m. and getting apple pie at midnight are both very L.A. things to do.
Absolutely.
So we're going to take a quick break, you guys, for a commercial. We'll be right back with Ashley Argota.
Only on Blog Talk Radio will you hear the celebrity host of Easy Way Broadcasting. Network owner Eric Easy Zuli treats his 500,000 Twitter followers to insider tips and connections on upcoming shows with the top celebrities and business leaders. Follow Eric at Hollywood It Guy and tune in 7 days a week to talk with the Easy Way Broadcasting show host at 914-338-1303. Visit www.easywaybroadcasting.com to advertise on the Easy Way Broadcasting Network.
Hey guys, Zach Callison here. Thanks for sticking around. You're listening to Teens on Air, and we have our guest, Ashley Argota, in the studio with us today.
Hey!
Moving on with what we were talking about, Ashley, what is your favorite type of work between TV, film, and theater?
That is literally the most impossible question. That's so hard. Theater, I started in theater, so that's always been my number one, and I get to combine both singing and acting. But, I mean, on a show like The Fosters, I get to also combine singing and acting.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to have to pick theater. I started in theater, and I was in Lion King, and that was, like, one of my favorite things to do, and, you know, about Aladdin, and I got to do that, and that was also one of my favorite projects ever, so
yeah.
Theater, final answer.
I feel like theater is one of the best training points for anybody in the business.
Yeah.
I started in theater as well.
It teaches you not only, I mean, acting and singing, it teaches you discipline, too. I mean, you really have to be on top of your game to do theater.
And being comfortable in front of people.
Yes.
Very important.
Absolutely.
Another hard question. Would you rather do comedy or drama?
Zach, you're killing me.
Going to the hard question.
That's also really hard. I've always been very comfortable with comedy. I did True Jackson for a few years and then Bucket and Skinner, and I've always been comfortable doing comedy. But I really love drama because it's just something different for me, and I love working on The Fosters and getting to go to set every day and not having to worry about, okay, I have to get this laugh. I have to make people laugh. What am I doing? Like, what can I do to make this funny? I just have to concentrate on making the story real and really authentic and organic. So it's a tie, honestly, between comedy and drama. I feel like when I do more drama things, I miss comedy, and when I do more comedy things, I miss drama.
Yeah. Earlier on in my career, I did more comedy, and now I feel like drama's more challenging.
Yeah.
So I want to work on it more.
Exactly,
more.
Yeah.
So I wanted to become an actor after seeing one of my biggest heroes, Josh Hutcherson, in Zathura.
Yes.
I really love that movie.
I love him.
Who inspired you to begin acting, and who would you say are some of your role models?
What inspired me to begin acting? I mean, my mom put me into acting classes when I was 5 years old, and I loved it so much that I just never wanted to stop. I love, Meryl Streep, I love,
yeah.
Sandra Bullock, Emma Stone, Andrew Garfield, Spider-Man's best ever, just saying. I'd love to get to work with Emma Stone one day. I think she's really great.
One of my favorite Meryl Streep things that she ever did was, it was just a couple years ago, she came on stage at the Oscars, and she's like, I know all of you are thinking right now, oh, it's that woman.
Yes,
again.
I love that. Did you see she was on the Ellen show recently as well? And she, Ellen had her read these, like, really random things, but she gave her, like, an emotion. So she had to read, like, a chocolate chip cookie recipe, but, like, in a really sexy voice. Or, like, she had to do all these things, and it was brilliant. She was amazing.
Ellen is one of the best talk shows.
Yeah, I think
besides
so.
Besides Scenes on Air.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
So you mentioned Aladdin earlier while we were talking about theater.
Yeah.
I was actually lucky enough to catch a performance at the Pasadena Playhouse.
Yay.
In the musical Aladdin and His Winter Wish, with, as you said, Jordan Fisher, who's also a friend of mine,
Yay.
Bruce Valance, and Ben Vereen. How's it like working with those guys?
It was incredible. First of all, Jordan Fisher. Let's talk about Jordan for a little while. He is wildly, incredibly talented and also one of the most humble and kindest people I'll ever know. And Bruce Valanche, I watched him on Hollywood Squares when I was little, so getting to work with him was, like, so crazy. And Ben Vereen is a, like, legend. And
yeah.
I remember being in rehearsals one day, and there's a part in Aladdin where he starts singing his song from Pippin. Mm-hmm. And during rehearsal, he just kept going with the song. So we all got, like, this private performance of magic to do, which was incredible. And he's just amazing. On my last day, I actually got laryngitis. Mm-hmm. And he came into my room, and, like, I didn't want to go on stage because I sounded so horrible. And he, like, came in and, like, talked me down and gave me this amazing pep talk. And he's wonderful. I love him. It was honestly one of my favorite projects I've ever gotten to do.
That's cool.
Yeah.
It was a really great show.
Thank you.
I actually did Aladdin Jr. back in St. Louis in
nice.
A community theater production. I was one of the narrators. So I had
really?
A microphone. I was like interviewing the characters.
Now, much like you're doing now?
Yes, actually. I started as an interviewer. I'll always be an interviewer.
There you go.
But Aladdin and Aladdin Jr. are a lot different from Aladdin and His Winter Wish.
Yeah.
Explain to the listeners what makes the show different.
Yeah, Aladdin and His Winter Wish is a panto. It's a British panto, which basically you get the audience involved, and it's kind of a modern twist on a classic fairy tale. So, like, Jordan got to sing Treasure and Billionaire, and I got to sing Call Me Maybe, and we basically put modern songs into the story. And we changed it around a little bit. And it was really cool because we did get to interact with the audience. And there's a point in the show where I talk about the what's it called? The lamp.
Yeah.
Duh. It's the point of the movie.
The most important part of the story.
The most important part. And I get to ask the audience, hey, should I give this lamp to Jafar? Like, is it okay that I do that? And it's really cool. And there's a ton of improv. Bruce Valanche got to improv a ton, which was hilarious. Mm. So, yeah, it was a very fun show to be a part of. It was different every night.
Okay. So, back to the Fosters for a second.
Yes.
You said you combined singing and acting on that show.
Yes.
You're also recording a new EP.
Yes,
so
I am.
What type of music do you do?
I like to describe it as Kelly Clarkson meets Jessie J. So, very, like, pop/rock/R&B. I wanted to, like, combine all of my favorite things. So, I am excited to hopefully release some new music this year.
What can you tell us? When is that going to be released? How many songs do you think you'll have on the?
I know I want to release a single first, and that should be coming in the next couple months, I want to say. If I'm lucky, if everything works out perfectly, which it never does. We're going to hope that this one time it does. If it all works out, then it should be in the next couple months.
And do you know what song that's going to be?
I don't know what song it's going to be. I'm
okay.
getting a few of them produced right now, and they're like, all those songs are like my babies, so I feel like I don't know which one I want to pick, so we'll see.
Yeah. Who would you say your musical influences are?
Wow. I've loved Celine Dion since I was little.
Mm-hmm.
I just posted something on Instagram yesterday where I said that I cried at the Celine Dion concert when she didn't sing My Heart Will Go On when I was like 5.
she didn't sing it at our concert.
She didn't sing it. In like the concert part, she sang it for the encore, but she walked off stage, obviously.
Oh,
and I was like,
okay.
Mom, she didn't sing the song.
Yeah.
I like freaked out, but she ended up singing it, which was really good. But I've always loved her, and I love Kelly Clarkson, like I said, and Adele is definitely one of my musical influences.
So 5-year-old, you didn't understand the concept of an encore, so
no,
you freaked out.
No, I just thought that it was supposed to be a concert, and when she walked off stage, I was like, this is unacceptable. I was not having it.
I saw 21 Pilots about a month and a half ago, and Tyler Joseph, the lead singer from him, said. He had the most interesting intro to an encore ever. He's like, all right, we're going to play our last song, and then we're going to pretend to go off stage and do that thing, and then we'll come back on.
I was so concert before when somebody did that. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, he's always been very honest to the fans.
Yeah.
That's why they're one of my favorites. So when you're ready to release, you're going to have to come back, of course, to Teens on Air, share some of the tunes.
Absolutely.
We've already recorded a couple shows with people playing live songs, so maybe
we'll
have you do that.
I think maybe I'll have to come back and do that.
Yes.
That's great.
So we talked about your film, How to Build a Better Boy, that you did with Disney. You wrapped that recently.
Mm-hmm.
You worked on the film with a guy named Matt Shively, who was also on True Jackson VP. How was that reunion for you?
That was literally the best reunion of my entire life. I was so excited. I walked into my second-to-last chemistry read for that movie, and I was signing in, and I saw his name up there, and I was like, that's weird. And then he tapped me on the shoulder, and he was right there. So we went through our last two chemistry reads together, and he booked the job before me, so he, like, sent me a message, and he was like, have you heard anything yet? This is really weird. And I was like, no. And I actually went in for one more chemistry read after him.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, oh, my God, how cool would it be if you booked this job and we went to Toronto together? That would be amazing.
Yeah.
And not 5 minutes after he sent me that, I got a phone call from Disney, and they're like, you booked the job. And I, like, texted him back and was like, hey, I guess I'll see you in Toronto. So it was great. We got to spend 5 weeks in Toronto together, and he's like my big brother. I loved him so much. So to get to work with him, he is hilarious in the movie. I thought he was brilliant, and I can't wait for everybody to see it.
So what exactly does a better boy look like anyway?
A better boy looks a lot like Marshall Williams, who plays our better boy in the movie. blonde hair, blue-eyed, very, like, hunky and macho and buff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he killed it in the movie. He was fantastic. I think everybody will agree that he is what a better boy should look like.
Uh-huh. So when is this film going to be released? It's going to be a Disney Channel movie, right?
Yeah, Disney Channel original movie. I believe in the next couple of months. We haven't gotten an official date yet. There's a date floating around the internet right now that I don't know if it's real or not.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't heard an official date, but the minute we find out, we'll let everybody know.
People love to leak stuff on the internet.
People do love to leak fake things on the internet,
yes.
Which is great. So I don't know if I should believe it or not. I don't know.
Our original pilot for Steven Universe was leaked onto the internet, the 8-minute short, so that's still floating around.
Wow!
And it's completely different from the show we have now. The art, the voices.
That's hilarious.
Crazy. So we have a lot of listeners on Teens on Air who want to do what we're doing, mm-hmm. maybe pursuing a dream of acting, performing. What would you say to someone new to the business about jumping in and starting the audition process?
Work, go to classes. That was a big thing for me. I mean, I know a lot of people, I feel like a lot of people come here and they don't take classes, or they just think like, oh, we can just like go into an audition and totally be fine with it. But I felt like classes really helped me at least, you know, get experience in front of the camera and start doing like a lot of script work and scene work. So that would be the big thing. And also don't forget where you came. That's really cheesy, but like, don't forget where you came from. Cause I feel like a lot of people get caught up in the Hollywood, like glitz and glamour.
Yeah.
Like I get to go to a red carpet and I get to, you know, get all glammed up with hair and makeup, but you can't forget that at the end of the day, everybody's human and we're all going after the same thing. So don't forget where you came from, I think is the biggest thing.
It's kind of cliche, but practice beats talent when talent doesn't practice.
Exactly. I love that. Yes.
So the competition is stiff in this business, of course, because mm-hmm. a lot of people want to do this.
Yes.
Would you agree that booking a job is kind of like winning a lottery, and how do you deal with the rejection? Because I know everybody has auditions that they bomb, or just having a bunch of auditions that they go on and hearing nothing from.
Yeah, it is absolutely like winning the lottery. Somebody told me a really long time ago that you are really lucky out of 10 auditions if you get one call back out of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's absolutely like winning the lottery. It's, you know, you kind of have to have your little golden ticket. There are jobs I've gone out for where I thought I was like perfect for it and it didn't end up working out. I have a great family.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to my mom about it. My mom actually, my audition for True Jackson was supposed to be my last audition ever because,
whoa.
Yeah, I was really tired of getting rejected and it took a toll on my mom, and she came into my room the morning of my audition and said that it was going to be my last audition and we were going to stop after that. And I went to my audition for True Jackson with like red puffy eyes and
like,
I bombed that. That is not going to happen for me. So
yeah.
I always call that like my miracle job because that's the job I didn't think I was going to get. But you know, it's really rough, but you have to have really thick skin when you're out here.
Yeah.
It's really rough, yeah.
I've been on plenty of auditions where I thought it went awful and then got a call back or sometimes booked it in the end.
I know. Isn't that the craziest when you're like, God, that did not work out for me, and then you get a call.
I'm
like,
thinking that every morning before my audition I should just destroy my self-esteem so
exactly.
it comes out better in the end.
I feel like it's always like that, though. It's always a job you think you're never going to get that you end up booking.
Yep. And somehow you're always right for it.
Exactly.
So what do you do to celebrate when you book something? I have like my game show happy dance reaction. What do you have?
I eat.
At a nice restaurant or just at home?
You know, we always go. I'll always like go out with my family and go eat. You understand how much I love food. French fries, remember?
Oh gosh.
I could eat a plate of them like that. Yeah, I normally will just, like, go out to dinner with my family and hang out with them and celebrate that way.
Yeah, when you first said that, I thought you meant, like, oh, yeah, I eat a whole box of cheese whenever I book something.
Yes! I grab Oreos and just eat all the time. Great.
So one of my goals in the industry is someday to work on a big action-adventure film with somebody like Joseph Gordon-Levitt
nice.
And Leonardo DiCaprio, some of my all-time favorites. What is a dream job to book for you, and who is someone that you'd like to work with in the future?
I always said I wanted to book a horror film, just because
mm-hmm.
I think that'd be really fun and different for me to do. And someone I'd like to work with, I've always said I wanted to work with Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
That's like the ultimate goal. Like if I work with Meryl Streep, I know I will have made it in this business. I got to work with Tina Fey a little while ago. I did like a really small part in her pilot, Cabot College,
mm-hmm.
and meeting her was like the ultimate starstruck. I never asked for pictures, but she was the one person. I was like, excuse me, can I get a picture with you? And she was nice enough to say yes. So that was really cool to work with her. But Meryl Streep, definitely, I would love to work with her.
Yeah, she was part of the genius behind Mean Girls, like we were talking about.
Yes, she was, right? Oh,
yeah.
I love her.
Very, very talented actress
as
well. So where do you see yourself in 5 to 10 years in your career or elsewhere?
Good question. I hope to be doing more film. I've done a lot of TV. I would love to move into some more film things. That'd be mm-hmm. really great. Comedy or drama. I'm not picky. I'd love to do both. And hopefully getting to go back to school. I went to NYU for a little while. I went to the nursing program. I know that shocks a lot of people. I wanted to mm-hmm. do something outside of acting because I feel like obviously I act when I'm here in LA, but I wanted a backup plan in case things don't work out for me in 5 to 10 years. And I just wanted something different. I've always loved medicine. So hopefully go either in the process of finishing school or somewhat almost finished with school, because I feel like if I'm working at the same time, that'd be, you know, mm-hmm. it's going to take a long time for me to finish. And also maybe on tour, working on my album and doing tours and all that stuff and performing.
Yeah. So at some point you do want to return to NYU.
I do want to return to NYU. I love New York, first of all. And my school was amazing, and I'm still best friends with my freshman year roommates, who I love so much. One of them's coming this summer to come and visit me in California.
Awesome.
So that's going to be fun. Yeah, so I'd love to go back to NYU.
So how, you went for 1 year to NYU and then came back to LA?
I went for a semester, but I was only half time. That's how much school I still have to catch up on.
Oh, boy.
My roommates are about to be seniors, I think, in the school. I told them that I would be going to their graduation and that I would be NYU's oldest graduate. So I'm going to be up there with like a cane, but I'll get the diploma. I will.
What drew you back to LA? What brought you back so quickly?
It was actually because of Bucket and Skinner, because mm-hmm. at that we were finished working on Bucket and Skinner, but they stopped promoting the show for a little while and I needed to come and help promote the show and mm-hmm. and figure everything out. So I knew I couldn't do that and go to school at the same time because it was gonna mess up my studies. So I decided to defer and I came back to help Bucket and Skinner, and then that ended up not coming back. So I ended up just working on different things here, and I just unfortunately haven't had time to go back to school, but I would love to eventually.
And then the Fosters came around.
And then the Fosters came around and I was like, well, there we go.
Yeah. So I'd say that trip back paid off then.
Yes, I think it worked out.
So Ashley, Teens on Air, we like to promote humility. And I'm sure all the listeners know which path I'm going down now.
Oh, no.
We are all imperfect and goofballs here at Teens on Air. So, fess up, what is the most embarrassing thing that has happened on stage or in an audition to you?
Okay. This is a funny story at an audition. So, for the Fosters, mm-hmm. It's very complicated finding this casting office. So, when I finally found it, it's like where all the cast dressing rooms are.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like walking upstairs. I was like, where is this place? And I finally found a door at the end of the hall. It said the Fosters casting. And the door was open and there was nobody inside. There was a couch, a table, like a case of waters. And there were no chairs anywhere. There were no like sign-in sheets anywhere. So I was like, okay. So I walked into the room and I sat down on the couch and like took a water, made myself at home. It was great. And I was the only one there. I was like, this is weird. It must be really early. So I sat there, looked at my script. And the casting director came in, Scott, who's awesome. I've auditioned for him before. He's, like, the nicest person.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of gave me this, like, really weird look. And I didn't really know what to think of it. I was like, oh, am I, like, too early? Did he not, like, want me here? And he starts putting down – he was talking to me, but he starts putting down, like, these headshots and the list of, like, people who are coming in for the audition. And I finally realized that that wasn't the waiting room. That was the room that they're going to bring people into
oh.
for the audition.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. And I was like, Scott – I'm not supposed to be in here. And he was like, no, you can stay, like, I'll kick you out when it's time. And I felt horrible. I could not have run out of that room faster. I think that's
part of the reason,
though, that I booked the Fosters, because I think I felt like I had nothing else to lose when I went in for the actual audition.
Yeah.
So I was kind of just like, you know what, I'm just going to do it, and whatever they think is what they're going to think. So that was, I think that's my most embarrassing moment at an audition.
You
that was
successfully
horrible.
Destroyed your self-esteem, and it worked.
See?
There you go. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break from this interview with Ashley Argota, and when we come back, it's time for Random Questions.
Oh, man.
We'll be right back on Teens on Air.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. You're tuned in to Teens on Air, only on Easy Way Broadcasting. Want to know more about all the awesome behind the scenes? Want to know who the next guest is? Want to see some cool pictures and videos? Well, you can catch this and a lot more by going to Facebook and putting into the search bar, Teens on Air. That's TEENSONAIR. Check it out. You won't be sorry. Zach, back to you.
Hey, guys, we're back on Teens on Air, and we are ready to hit Ashley Argota with some random questions.
Dun, dun, dun.
Are you ready? Do you accept the challenge?
I accept the challenge. Let's do this.
So all of these questions are previously unknown to Ashley unless she cheated and looked at the question
sheet. I did not cheat. I would like to make that known right now. I did not cheat.
Good to know. All right. You know the rules. Respond quickly with the first thing that comes into your head as an answer to these questions. You're ready.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. Number one, favorite color?
Purple.
Lucky number?
9.
How tall are you?
5'3".
Favorite food?
Spaghetti.
How many pairs of shoes do you own?
Way too many.
Can you juggle?
Absolutely not.
If you were the ruler of the world, what law would you make?
That everybody had to eat Oreos before they went to bed.
If you were a superhero, what would your name be?
Super Ashley.
What power would you have, Super Ashley?
The power to stop time and sleep for as long as you want and then wake back up and then just, like, carry on with whatever you were doing.
Great choice. Favorite sport?
Basketball.
Favorite travel destination?
New York City.
Favorite holiday?
Christmas.
If you could go back in time and change one thing, what would it be?
The time I fell at Busby's.
Oh, God. If you could live anywhere, where would it be?
New York City.
If you were stuck on a deserted island alone, what are three things you want with you?
Plane, my phone, and food.
If you could tell your future self one thing, what would it be?
Calm down, don't worry, like, stop panicking.
Can you ice skate?
Oh, no.
Me either. What's been your best present?
My best present that I've given or received?
Both.
The best present that I've received was snow on my 12th birthday when I was in Seattle. It snowed and that's all I wanted for my birthday.
Uh-huh.
And the best one that I've given... my mom this year really wanted a sign that said "Bless Our Home," and she couldn't find it anywhere. And I found it, and I surprised her with it, and it was awesome.
Nice. All-time favorite TV commercial.
Oh, what? All-time favorite TV commercial. the iPhone one. I don't know.
The iPhone ones. Which iPhone one? Okay. All right. Lastly, what is your favorite saying?
My favorite saying: you never know what you can do until you try.
All right. Very good.
Oh, my God. I'm sweating.
You just couldn't think of that TV commercial, Ashley. My personal favorite is the Jake from State Farm commercial.
There you go. Oh, the progressive ones with Flo.
Okay, yeah. Those
there
are
you go.
What are you wearing, Jake from State Farm? khakis. All right, guys, that is it for today's episode of Teens on Air. As you know, this episode was pre-recorded because I'm in Lugano, Switzerland, having a grand old time. We recorded some segments for earlier episodes that we sent over of me speaking Italian. Not today. It was all me and Ashley Argota having a grand time. Thank you guys for listening to Teens on Air. Thank you, Ashley, for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you to my producer, Andrew, and Easy Way Broadcasting for putting the show on. I have one final thought for you guys. This quote is by Unknown. I hope your summer is just a little box filled with surprises, because it certainly has been for me. Thank you, guys. Good night.